Beautiful service, beautiful reading. Appreciated that drash. Amen. Thank you. And just two observations. One, when I first got the notice that Kira was going to be visiting in the city with Oksana and Boaz, we couldn't have a concert with her this week because we're having a special speaker next week. It just hasn't worked out for us to do two events in a row, special events. And then we have other things lined up for the fall, but we will host you at some point. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. And then also, I don't know if you're one that's tending to math, but if Jim's bar mitzvah was 50 years ago today, and you're age 13 when you have a bar mitzvah, therefore, how many believe he was a prodigy? I see some hands. You might have some support in that one. Okay. All right. Now, just some things to introduce the message that are important. And so we have this opening on a scientist's door. Was the news gone fishing? You heard about the North Korean fusion bomb. Well, anyhow. Outside a hotel, we need inexperienced people. At a music store, out to lunch, Bach at 12:30, often Bach sooner. It's pretty lame. But anyhow, on a music teacher's door, out Chopin. Now, these are from Lori Wilson from her Facebook page. Where's Lori back there? Okay, yes. And then I forgot to acknowledge that one of the best ones I've ever read about the gift from Khalil Mashal to Benjamin Netanyahu back, Sergio sent me. Where's Sergio? Give him credit for that one. That was excellent. Yes, indeed. And then this, I don't remember who this one's from. Teacher, if you have 10 chocolate cakes and someone asks for two, how many do you have left? Well, depending on who you are, but if it was me, you'd have 10 left. They just asked. Okay. Now, I have some of the things that are from the news of the week, but I'm going to have to skip them for next week. They're not that timely sensitive. Some of you have been very concerned about Rabbi Riskin and his announcement that the Jews have all accepted Yeshua, or the rabbis have, but that's not true. Anyhow, we'll get to that next week because I want to get to the message. Actually, here's the conclusion of it. One rabbinic school says Yeshua is okay, Rabbi Riskin. One rabbinic school says Yeshua belief is idolatry. One imam says the Isif Caliphate is okay, and we'll review that next week. One imam says the Jews will have the land, so ISIS will not prevail. So the conclusion of all that is don't follow the news too much. It'll only get you confused. Don't bank on what you read in the news. That's probably better. Only trust the Word. And so we want to look into the Word and continuing the series in Matityahu that God laid on my heart over the weeks and months that we've been going through this. We read that in the English translation. Pay attention. Yeshua says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. He's sending us out like sheep among wolves. Like there's some wolves. Like you might say, really? Like, did I make a wrong turn? But nevertheless, that is what it says. He's sending us in to the maelstrom. He doesn't say I'm sending you on an easy task. And not only that, it doesn't say I'm sending you to wolves. He said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. I want to look at this wording. He's sending us into the maelstrom like Yeshayahu, Isaiah. And that glorious chapter we love to read in Isaiah where the seraphim are saying, Kadosh, Kadosh, holy, holy, holy is Adonai Tzvaot. And God immediately follows by saying, this is not on screen, but just listen, pay attention. God says, go and tell this people, yes, hear, but you don't understand. You certainly see, but you don't get the point. That's an encouraging introduction. Make the heart of this people sluggish with fat. God says to Yeshayahu, stop up their ears and shut their eyes. Otherwise, seeing with their eyes and hearing with their ears, then understanding with their hearts, they might repent and be healed. So God is saying this work of redemption is going to be full of challenges, opposition, and difficulty. Sheep among wolves, and sheep are notoriously defenseless against predators in their own strength. And Yeshua says further, how blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of vicious lies about you because you follow me. Rejoice. He's saying rejoice. Rejoice and be glad because your reward in heaven is great. They persecuted the prophets which were in the same way. So in other words, our praise, our fulfillment. I love that song that Rivka Hare led out in the, I don't remember the name of it, but it was just about repenting of dependence on people, depending on acceptance, depending on approval. We have to get way past that. Our satisfaction is not in how we're received. We rejoice and we're glad in him, which is not always an easy thing to do, but we live in his praise and joy, not on our success. In Timothy, it says, all who want to live a godly life united with the Messiah Yeshua will be persecuted. Not only that, wolves come from unexpected praises. Here's an interesting picture. I hope it's clear enough. You see that? That wolf is out for a party. He's in. Now, let me say this. Yeshua said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. It slows down the outreach big time when we find out we got wolves in on the inside. In Galatians 5, Shaul says, for the whole Torah is summed up in this one sentence, love your neighbor as yourselves, but if you go on snapping at each other and tearing each other to pieces, watch out, you will be destroyed by one another. So who is the wolf? Well, I might submit to you that we've all got a little bit of wolf nature, and we need to really be careful. If we're going to go out and reach the world, sheep among wolves, we've got to watch out for the wolf that might be within us. There's a word that's kind of gotten to be a buzzword in ministry in the last few years of narcissism. And the book that we're doing in the men's group, Joy Starts Here, I just highly encourage, it's a really deep book on life in the Lord, speaks about it. But first, I just want to give a definition because the word might be new to some of you. Narcissism is a grandiose view of one's own talent and a craving for admiration, leadership, authority, superiority, self-absorption, exploitative entitlement. That is, do you think that you are the only one that has it right or does it right? You don't have to answer. But that's actually one of the definitions here of a narcissist, or you might say, to put it into Yeshua's terminology, of a wolf. Wherever groups who seek God fail to achieve a joyful identity, and as a community, as a sheep community, we're supposed to have a joyful identity together, we can be sure there is uncorrected narcissism in the mix. It really doesn't matter who has the narcissism for the damage to be done. Narcissists deny faults in themselves and track faults with others. Let me just read that. I think that's the definition of a wolf. Narcissists deny faults in themselves and track faults in others. Do you find it very difficult to acknowledge faults in yourself, and it's easy to track fault? We all do that somewhat. Narcissists justify their lack of tender responses to weakness in others by pointing at their faults. Where the acknowledgement of weakness would normally foster life and growth, predators punish weakness. Now, this book has terminology of predators, protectors, and possums. We are one of the three, according to this little scheme. We're a predator if we're a wolf, if we're a narcissist, if we're seeking praise and seeking to destroy others, punish others that have weaknesses. We're a possum if we say, I don't see any problem. I'm just not involved. I just don't want to get involved. You're a possum. You withdraw. You hide. And a lot of us do that. You don't have to raise your hand. But then you're a protector if you're Messiah-like, if you're going to protect and love and serve and bless. And so, as long as there is a narcissist predator on the loose in a community, people will want to keep their mask strong. Narcissists must admit their weaknesses and lack of tenderness to the weakness in others for their own transformation. We know Yeshua has changed a predator's heart when that person begins expressing value for the weaker members of the community. What are the weaker ones? The weaker ones are the ones that don't have it all together. Narcissists learn that they and their masks are not the same thing. Well, that is when they're transformed. The same Emmanuel, that's one of the key things of this mentality, is Emmanuel. God is with us in our stresses and distresses. The same Emmanuel vision that brings shalom allows the recovering narcissist to see people who are not happy with them through the Emmanuel vision as well. Laying down their swords open the doors for predators, for wolves, to be welcomed into the community of protectors. Giving up control leads to joy with other people. Care for weakness develops protector identities and joins the weak and the strong together. Predators start to see what God has placed in other people that has not yet been activated. Predators, possums, and all of us actually must confess that we do not know who we really are in order to enter the kingdom of God as a child. Only then do we discover the way God sees. Areas of weakness are areas where God can form us the most. So we all have wolves, or the wolf nature, to deal with. And Shaul said this concerning the congregation he had led in Ephesus. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you. They won't spare your flock even from among your own number. Men will rise and teach perversion of the truth in order to drag away Talmidim after themselves. So stay alert. Remember that for 3 years, night and day, with tears in my eyes, I never stopped warning you. So we need to confess. We need to have a spirit. So we don't have this wolf nature within us. We need to have a spirit of confessing our sins and drawing near to Yeshua and applying his blood to our lives, to our hearts, to all of our being, that we can be all transformed. So just before I leave this topic, who is the wolf among us? It's the one that has a hard time admitting failure, and it's the one who's not tender with the weak. If you're denunciatory to the weak as opposed to being redemptive, I know sometimes the weak can drive us crazy, but that's okay. You know, there's a book they wrote a couple 100 years ago, I'm Okay, You're Okay. It was a big buzz in like the 70s. Some of you may remember, I'm Okay, You're Okay. Well, the messianic adaptation is, I'm not okay, and you're not okay, but it's okay. Tender with the weak. Okay, so here's a picture of a wonderful flock with one exception. So that happens. Who is the wolf? I'm the wolf. You're the wolf. We need to deal with the wolf nature within us. And sometimes there's a wolf that's totally a wolf, and we have to deal with that as a community. So that's the first half of Yeshua's first verse. He says, therefore, be as prudent as snakes and as harmless as doves. And snakes, serpents are wise, very discerning, very sharp-sighted. And doves are known to be defenseless and cunning and free from, that is not defenseless against cunning, but it also, Yeshua is saying, be wise, but also be harmless. So without rancor, malice, wrath, without seeking revenge, meek and humble, just with the whole dove nature. So is it possible to be a fruitful sheep? This message is about two things. It's about getting rid of the wolves, but it's also about being a sheep among the wolves, going out to the wolves and being fruitful. I want to talk about a man that I mentioned last week that I'm actually hoping that he'll be our tour guide this summer, but I found that he's going to be traveling, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to work that out. But he was featured in the Ma'oz newsletter that some of you may get and some of you may be familiar with, and it's Sean Steckbeck, and here's a picture. Wait, where'd the caption go? There should be a caption on the side here. Well, it's not showing up. I'll just read it to you. Anyhow, that's Sean with one of his young disciples, but this guy is an Arab, and that's why his face is deliberately blurred out. And so Sean has this amazing Luke 10 ministry. He's taught here 2-3 years ago, and his wife Ayala was here since. And they have the ability to go into villages that are otherwise very wolf-like, very dangerous, very hostile, but to see tremendous outreach in Palestinian Muslims or nominal high church type Christians, and see real community, real growth, real transformation transformation. And so here is this is actually supposed to be large. Anyhow, here's a ministry to Bedouin in the south of Israel. Let me read to you from the Maoz newsletter a little bit. And if you get the Maoz letter, you'll have it. Or if you get the notes, it's in the notes part of this. Something amazing. Listen to this. You know, we tend to look at the world and we see a lot of things going wrong. But God is still working victoriously, successfully. Hallelujah. Even that movie, Isaac's movie, is an indication of the believers penetrating the world of the arts with a real godly message. But here's a message of success. Something amazing is happening in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza among Muslims and traditional Arab Christians, to be Eastern Orthodox or Russian Orthodox. The Holy Spirit is breathing on the beginnings of a discipleship, disciple-making movement. There are geographical-based teams forming and disciple-making, disciples-making disciples, so second-generation believers, you could say, starting to spread across the West Bank and Gaza. Some of these areas are dangerous. They're wolves, to say the least. At the heart of such a move is the Great Commission, which commands us to teach and observe everything we have commanded. Yeshua says, one of his commandments is to love your enemy, and specifically to the Arab people groups, to them the enemy is the Israelis. We have seen the Holy Spirit move in amazing ways. Let me read you the story. To change the hearts and fulfill this commandment. A group of three new Palestinian Muslim-backed disciples were driving within the West Bank. Okay, so these were Muslim people that grew up in Islam and came to faith in Yeshua. Like Jim was talking about Taisir, but other groups, these Luke 10 groups. Now, they were stopped at a security checkpoint by the IDF. In the past, they would complain and be embittered by the lost time waiting at the checkpoints and the Jews controlling their lives and inspecting them and all this. And they thoroughly despised the interrogation. But because these guys were believers, listen to this, and God was working in their hearts, they noticed the Jewish soldier also spoke Arabic. They began to share the love of Yeshua. Yeshua is how you say Yeshua in Arabic. Yeshua, there's actually Isa sometimes also. But anyhow, they began to share the love of Yeshua with the Jewish soldier and encouraged him to learn about his Messiah till he reluctantly had to get back to his guard duty. The three Muslim background believers pray to get stopped at checkpoints so they can share Yeshua with the soldiers with whom... because they'd never otherwise have contact with the soldiers. They're excited to love their enemies, and God has given them a special love for soldiers. Now, Ahmed, it's not his real name, but it's a typical Muslim name or Arab name, is one of the team leaders, and he lived most of his life in Gaza until the overthrow of the PA by Hamas about 8 years ago, I guess. He had never met any Jewish people, but now he's living in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, and God has been doing something in his heart towards Israelis, especially as he teaches other Arabs to love Jews. Recently, he was given military permission to cross an Israeli checkpoint, went on a ministry trip to Beersheba, with an Israeli friend and teammate. While eating at a restaurant, the waiter, was an Israeli, asked Ahmed where he was from, and responded that he was from Gaza. As you can imagine, that would send chills down somebody's spine, so why are you here? The waiter said he had been in Gaza as an IDF soldier in the last war and had lost a friend of his there. Ahmed then got up, hugged him, and with tears apologized for his friend's death on behalf of his people. The waiter was so touched, probably shocked, that he was also in tears. This led the young waiter to bring over two other Jewish Israeli waitresses to hear Ahmed's testimony of what God had done in his heart through Yeshua. They were so open and hungry for the message of salvation because of the love they saw in Ahmed's eyes toward them. The conversation continued until the manager said, "You do have a job to do, you know." That night, the Holy Spirit moved in Ahmed's heart as he wept and travailed for the salvation of the Jewish people. So one other story. These are just too good. A is a Muslim background believer who's very recently come to know Yeshua. He's very passionate about sharing and making disciples with his fellow Muslims. Recently, his mother had to go to an Israeli hospital. That's a whole other interesting story. The Arabs have had more aid than the Marshall Plan on a per capita basis. I think they said 15 times as much aid, and they basically have no infrastructure because the money's been squandered, very little. But be that as it may, they're in an Israeli hospital because of that. And so while his mother was in an Israeli hospital, while waiting area A, is all the name that's given, was sitting beside an Orthodox Jewish man in the same room as his mother. So Palestinian, Arab, and an Orthodox Jew. A told the man his testimony, and now he was once violent towards the Jewish people, but Yeshua changed his heart. The Orthodox man, who probably wouldn't listen to any other person tell him about Yeshua, was willing to listen to this Palestinian Arab former, former soldier maybe. Very interested. A shared with an Orthodox Jewish guy from the Tanakh, from the Old Testament. Scriptures about Yeshua fulfilling the role of Messiah and how he can change people's hearts, and he gave himself as an example. The Orthodox Jewish man left and said, "You have given me a lot to think about that I never would have considered. I'm promised to really examine Yeshua. It all started by loving your enemies." Joel Richards, another story of some guys, and the faces are blurred out. Accordingly, Joel Richardson was here about 3 weeks ago, and he said from this pulpit, said from this bima, that most of the stories he's heard of Muslims coming to faith is the love of believers. Now, we will have an infusion of Muslims in our city. I don't know how to reach them, except love is the foundation. They're sort of expecting hostility or whatever, but God can work through dreams and visions. He can work through love. He can work through both. Now, that's some stories of Jewish salvation. I also want to read to you, I get this letter from we'll call it the Yeshua, the Jesus Film Project. And these guys also, this is from the spring of this year, so it's a little old, but not very. But there was a place they were riding to show the film, and the chief heard of their coming, that they had brought a film in their language, and it was about a great prophet. So he sent word to the team. So they did have an opening. They found a man of peace. And the team members knew it could be a trap, that bullets might penetrate their hearts, but in obedience they trusted God and prayed that his word contained in the message in the film would penetrate the hearts of the people. On their arrival, things weren't looking good. About 250 armed fighters surrounded the film team. Now, I have never ministered to 250 armed people. The chief stepped out and invited the team in, saying, "I want you to show this film." The team suggested it would be best if they showed the film outside that night, outside his home, on the equipment that they had. They had generators, all kinds of stuff. Still surrounded by the chief's warriors who were armed with guns, they began to show. They started the projector. Didn't take long for the fighters to become captivated. The words of the God-man Yeshua Emmanuel penetrated their hearts just as the team had prayed. When Yeshua said, "If someone slaps you on the one cheek, turn to them the other also," they were deeply moved. That's when the impossible happened. Even before the film ended, they began hugging each other. Brutal fighters raised their guns in the air, shouting, "From this day forward, we'll follow the commandment of Isa." So it was probably an Arab group, Isa. When the film concluded, the tribal leader asked the film leader to take the message of peace and forgiveness to their enemy tribe. Despite facing a similar set of risks, the team said they would. The group also heard the word of God in their language, witnessed his love, about his love, death, and resurrection. They also repented. The centuries-old blood feud was over. Amen. We heard, I believe it was just last week, about what happened between the Hutus and the Tutsis. Is that right? And that's not the only place that God is doing incredible things. Just one more wonderful short story. There was a very dangerous nation where volunteers and workers are taking the DVDs of Yeshua to many people who know him as the prophet Isa. A team showing the film was traveling in a very hazardous remote area. They're aware of the presence of radicals who were ready to kill any Christians if they were found. While driving over the dirt terrain, they became lost. So that's a great thing to do in enemy territory. They stopped their car in hopes of reestablishing their bearings. That's when a man surprised them, suddenly emerging from a cluster of trees. He was agitated, waving his arms over his head and heading directly for them. They knew this team could be a radical jihadist. Then they heard his voice saying, "You are they. You are they. You are the men in my dream. Can you tell me the truth? Miles from any settlement, the man told the team about a dream he had several nights earlier. He saw men, these very men that he's now talking to. A voice said they would bring him truth. The dream was so real, he left his home on foot a few days earlier and been searching for the men. So here these guys got lost, but they didn't know. They weren't lost. They were Holy Spirit. They had a GPS from the Holy Spirit to lead them to this guy who was out looking for them. The film workers invited him into the car. The man directed them to his village. Turned out he owned the local tea house, and that's where they set up the movie, and there was great, great transformation. So Yeshua says to go out as sheep among wolves, and that means two things, to make sure we don't have any wolf nature within us, that we are at peace and in love and in harmony and shalom with one another in our homes and our families as much as we can. There's some problems you cannot settle, but most problems can be solved by humbling ourselves and repenting and seeking God. And the other thing is to go out, to don't stop going out. I appreciate both messages tonight. So what is Or HaLam doing for outreach? First of all, there's the prayer station that Peter and Ginny do quite regularly, quite frequently, and many of us have gone with them, and we don't want to stop that ministry. There's UMKC ministry possible. Pray about that. There are doors that are opening, possibly opening. There's Santa Fe Towers with the senior, many Russian Jewish senior citizens that can open the door to us. And there is a lot of energy. Right now we have a team. Mike and Jan and Jong are at one of the other other Messianic congregations in Lee's Summit presenting the March of Remembrance that's going to happen May 1st. And that's not evangelism, but it's outreach that will hopefully lead to evangelism. So Yeshua tells us, go out as sheep among wolves. And then in the rest of the scripture that we're out of time for, and I'd like the team to come up at this point, but the rest of the scripture talks about that we may be punished in the synagogues, we may be trampled on, we may be beaten beyond guard. There will be people who will hand you over to local Sanhedrins to flog you in their synagogues. And Shaul actually talked about this. Let me just read the summary without all the details. He said, 5 times I received 40 lashes less one from the Jews. That was the synagogue beating. It was 13 times. When you get the message, if you subscribe to it, you get the message, you'll see the details. The synagogue procedure was if someone was worthy of stripes, as they called it, worthy of beating, they beat 13 times in the middle of the chest, and then 13 times from behind on the left shoulder, 13 times on the right shoulder, for a total of 39, because it says in Deuteronomy, don't beat anyone 40 times. So 39 became the standard time. And Paul had this 5 times happen to him. Most of us have not faced that. So the details are all here if you want to read it. But there could be great hazards, great difficulties. Conclusion, just fast forwarding to the conclusion. Slay the wolf within, the narcissist, the person who has to be right, get praise, find fault with others, put that old nature tendencies on the execution stake with Messiah. So no wolves, sheep among wolves, and then go to the wolves out there with the love of Messiah. And if you haven't received him, and if this is all new to you, receive him. We're going to have a time of worship in which I would like us to commit ourselves to go out among as sheep among wolves. Sheep have no ability to conquer wolves, but we have the supernatural ability. As sheep, you might say, to bring the word, the love of Messiah, and see people transformed. Amen. Let's have a little time of worship and enter into that theme. I shall not want. This is the song that I referenced. Wonderful song.